So, latest is that it's number 7. So, I'll just recite number 7, and then we'll read the translation and purport. Bhavaya nastram bhavas vishvavavana tvam eva matata suritpati pata tvam sadguru na paramam cha daivatam yashyano ritya krito kritino babu vima. O creator of the universe, you are our mother, well-wisher, Lord, Father, spiritual master and worshipful deity. By following in your footsteps, we have become successful in every respect. We pray, therefore, that you continue to bless us with your mercy. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The All-Good Personality of Godhead, being the creator of the universe, also plans for the good of all good living beings. The good living beings are advised by the Lord to follow His good advice, and by doing so they become successful in all spheres of life. There is no need to worship any deity but the Lord. The Lord is all-powerful, and if He is satisfied by our obedience unto His lotus feet, He is competent to bestow upon us all kinds of blessings for the successful execution of both our material and spiritual lives. For attaining spiritual existence, the human form is a chance for all to understand our eternal relationship with God. Our relation with Him is eternal. It can neither be broken nor vanquished. It may be forgotten for the time being, but it can be revived also by the grace of the Lord. If we follow His injunctions, which are revealed in the scriptures, in all times and places. Om Miganti Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devam Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pastachyade Shatarine. So this is carrying on the pastime where Lord Krishna leaves Hastinapur and travels to Dwarka. And this is the reception he gets when he arrives on the outskirts of Dwarka. So this is very important in society that, you know, what's the difference between a materialistic person and a devotee or a spiritual person? This is the difference, is that they know how to deal with one another. A neophyte devotee doesn't. But then when he becomes more learned, he understands how to act and how not to act. And here, the residents of Dwarka are all, you know, deliberated souls, so they obviously know how to act, and they're setting an example for everyone else, that they're meeting the Lord on the outskirts of Dwarka and they're eulogising his qualities. Not for some, you know, benediction, but benedictions will come as a result of that. Because, you know, devotional service is not rules and regulations. We may be following rules and regulations, but, you know, devotional service is an activity of the heart. What is the state of the heart? In Bhagavad Gita it says that Atoke na priyoktamam papam charity parushaha anicham apivarshneya balan eva neojitaha. Arjuna's asking Krishna, you know, why do we actually act in wrong ways, in sinful ways? And in the next verse, Lord Krishna says it's karma esha krodha esha. Rajagana Smudva. It's due to contact with the material energy. It's not actually due to contact with the material energy as such. It's the state of the heart. You know, we can be in contact with the material energy and not affected by it. But in Bhagavad Gita it says that way. But it's explained that it's, you know, whatever the heart, whatever position of the heart, then we liked in a certain way. And right at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, after all these instructions in the 17th chapter, just to put a, to complete it in the beginning of the 17th chapter, Arjuna asks the question, what about a person who doesn't follow Vedic instructions, because the previous chapter was saying follow Vedic instructions, but if otherwise there's no success? What if he follows something in between? He was just like making sure that everything was clear. Nobody could, you know, we're good at finding ways through and loopholes. Yeah? So he said, what's a person, you know, he's following strictly something, but it's not in Vedic instructions, but he's determined. And Lord Krishna starts to explain, it's the state of the heart. He says, if we're in the mode of passion and ignorance, we'll do that. If we're in mode of goodness, we'll do the right thing, we'll follow Shastra. So there's no benefit still. And so in the same way, if we come to devotional service, it's expected there'll be a change in behaviour, a change of heart, because we act according to what's in the mind or in the heart. Whatever's on the mind, it'll eventually come out of the mouth. Is that right? It's like, it won't stay there. If it keeps in the mind, eventually it'll come out. And what's impelling the mind is the heart. Or it's a, you know, a contaminated intelligence. We say the mind's a problem, don't we? Is it a problem? I think everybody agrees it's a problem. But actually it's not the mind. The mind's in a mode of goodness. It's just a screen which, you know, things come on. Keeps focusing things on the mind and how we act on them. And so it's a false ego. The false ego is the problem. While ever we identify with this body, then it's very difficult to actually identify with the soul. It's very difficult to actually perform devotional service, because when we think we're the body, we naturally will try to satisfy everything related to it, even directly or indirectly. So all our calculations. So it's the point is that when we come off the platform of thinking with the body, then automatically we'll understand we're a servant of Krishna. And so that everything we do will have real quality and substance. Of course, we're having to go through the process of purification to come to that point. And this is devotional service. And this is what's happening here. It's setting an example that even though we don't feel like acting on the right platform, we have to. Because then the heart will change. Purushu prakriti stohi bhunkti prakriti jnangam karanaguna sangasya sadasat janma yonishu. In 13th chapter, it says that, you know, the living entity is going from one situation to another is because of the mind impelled by the false ego. And thus he's finding different situations. So devotional service means, ultimately, not following rules and regulations as such and being, you know, expert in doing certain things, although that's a side quality of devotional service. Devotional service means serving Krishna with proper attention, with the heart. And Prabhupada many times mentioned this, that, you know, do things with love. Bhagavad Gita says, do things with love, and then Krishna takes over. Desham satata yuktanam, bhajatam pritipurvakam. Pritipurvakam, this is the point. Do things with, and we may say, oh, that's an exalted platform. But no, anybody can do it any moment. You know, what does love mean? It's not, is it a feeling, or it's actually a verb. It's a doing word when you do something. So you can do it. We do a thing with love. We force the mind with love. And we do it when we don't want to do it. That's also love. So, you know, Prabhupada explains that many people come to devotional service, and after some time, when they're materially satisfied or psychologically satisfied or whatever satisfied, then they'll not be so interested. But then, because we have to go to the next stage, now you have to make the effort to do things with some feeling. Yeah, in a relationship between man and woman, if things are just done in a, what we say, an automatic way, the relationship won't last. Is that right? Anyway, I'm not very experienced in this, but you know, I know that. Actually, I think I've got it wrong. I think it becomes a duty. It becomes a duty. But still, you know, you have to please the other party, otherwise, you know, it can be very, very difficult. So life's like that. We have to, it's like a yajna. The human form of life is a yajna. Maharaj Yudhisthira, at the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra, he was saying, you know, so many people have been killed and it's all my fault. And he was lamenting. And he was saying, this body is actually meant for others. I've used it for my own personal sense gratification. But it's meant for the satisfaction of others. So this is the position of the soul, of the jiva, is that we're not actually controllers, but we're meant for the satisfaction of others. And so coming to that platform is a program of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, practicing under rules and regulations, following Vaishnava etiquette, as it says here. And then the heart changes. There was Roma Harshana Sutta. He was on the Vyasasan. And Lord Balaram had decided to take some time out because he couldn't have any influence on Duryodhana and Bhima. He thought, I'll leave the Battle of Kurukshetra. I'll be neutral because, I like Duryodhana, but I'm also Lord Krishna's brother and I like the Pandavas. Whatever I do, I'm going to make enemies. And so he went on pilgrimage. And when he walked into the assembly at Naimisharanya, Sutta Goswami, the most learned speaker, was prepared to give his lecture or answer questions. And everybody stood up and offered their respects to Lord Balaram, but Roma Harshana Sutta. So Balaram, he became a little angry about this. And it says in Bhagavatam that he saw that, I remember this person's past. You know, in devotional service, we shouldn't remember a person's past, and sometimes we do. But no, we should remember. But Lord Balarami has got that prerogative. And he thought, this person was a Shudra. And he was realizing that he wasn't able to change himself. He's got so many, so much learning. Everybody's put him on the Vyasasan because he knows so much. But it's not an effect on his heart. When it has an effect on the heart, then we can actually practice devotional service. So these external activities of dealing with devotees are very, very important. Otherwise, what's the difference between a materialistic person and a devotee? The relationships will be wrong. So this is one point in this verse. Like Sanatana Goswami, for instance. Sanatana Goswami, Lord Chaitanya was really pleased by his dealings with devotees, his etiquette. And he called him, you're the emblem of Vaishnava etiquette. So, if we want to please Krishna, then we have to start acting on the platform of spiritual life. Not just, you have to internalize it, then we internalize and then it becomes natural. Bhava, they call it, don't they? Tesham satatayusam bhajanam pradibhuvam. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes on this verse and the next one as well. And he says that the Krishna is situated in your bhava. So bhava means, what does bhava mean? In mood. What's your mood? What's your bhava? You know, everybody has bhava, don't they? There's certain bhavas between people. And ultimately, when we attain spiritual bhava, this is almost a perfection of life. It says Krishna's situated in our bhava. In other words, he reciprocates. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So if we start to internalize and do things with a little bit of devotion and do it in a positive way, then that makes all the difference. You know, we can go on for years and years and years and just mechanically do things. You know, the Maha Mantra is powerful, but, you know, chanting the Maha Mantra has to come to the point of chanting with feeling. So this is actually the choice that we have. We have a choice to do things in an unconscious way or do things in a conscious way, and this is a difficulty. And if we do things in a conscious way, then we get ruchi, then we get a real taste. Because actually there's a personal relationship developing. Otherwise it's always through devotees. It's there as well. You know, the spiritual master and the devotees are there to, you know, gradually bring us to the point of doing this, of doing things with a little bit of spontaneity. Okay, so what time do we go all today? Eh? 8:40, okay. So actually, when we get complete knowledge, you know, that's what we're after. What's complete knowledge? Complete knowledge is devotional service, when it's performed with, you know, full attention and full love. And what's the result of complete knowledge is that the heart changes. And naturally, our natural position is to be servant. Humility is a sign. And this is why Balaram, he saw that it's not working. A person who has knowledge, he'll become humble. And therefore he thought he's unqualified and he took him off the Vyasasan. And also, when we act in an appropriate way, the next thing it says here, we get blessings. I mean, not many people ask for blessings in the UK, I've noticed. Maybe we're very intelligent here, eh? We know that Krishna will give all blessings. Or maybe not. When I go to other countries, sometimes people quite often ask for blessings. And, you know, we get the blessings when we do the right things. We don't really have to ask for blessings, but we do have to ask for blessings. We should be in a mood of wanting blessings, in a mood of, you know, wanting to please devotees. Because actually, if we serve devotees, automatically blessings come. You know, give me all blessings. It's like, it's not really, what can you do, you know? But somebody comes and serves and does something nice and you think, wow, you want to help that person. And so here, he said the Lord is able to give all kinds of blessings. Just by that act of approaching the Lord in the right way, he bestows all blessings. What's the main point of the Bhagavad Gita? You know, chapter 9 and chapter 10 are the two, and the junction between them is the... You know, Bhagavad Gita is the essence of spiritual knowledge. The middle six chapters are the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. And 10 and 11, 9 and 10 are the essence of the middle six chapters. And Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto is the essence of all the Bhagavad Gita. And it mentions four things. We have to think about Krishna. Become his devotee, in other words, service. Worship Krishna and offer obeisances. They're not difficult things, are they? Everybody can do them externally. So it's an internal thing. So this is what I wanted to just put over in this particular purport. Maybe we can... So Krishna's position, that's the other point. Krishna's position, you know, is all-powerful, he can bestow blessings. So, 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, essence, what's the next thing it explains? Opulence of the Absolute. So, because if we don't understand Krishna's opulence, we can't actually surrender. It's difficult to surrender or have affection for somebody who you don't know. So it's beginning to explain Krishna's opulences. And when we understand Krishna's position, then we can start to serve with proper attention. So this is Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter. Aham evasam evagre nanyat yat shadasatparam. This is in the seed verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we've done the seed verses of the in the tenth chapter in Bhagavatam in the second canto ninth chapter. It gives the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. What's the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam? That, you know, Krishna's all opulences. I was here before creation. I'm here now. I was also the ingredients for creation. After creation, there'll be nothing left but me. Next verse. If anybody sees anything different from that, then it's illusion. Next verse. As all the universal elements enter into the universe and don't enter into the universe, I myself enter into everything, but don't enter into everything. Pretty complicated, isn't it? And I was thinking about that, you know, the universal elements, they are the universe. Without those elements, there's no universe. So they're simultaneously entering into, but they're all, so similarly, Krishna enters into everything, but he is everything. So, you know, there's no dearth in, knowledge of Krishna. Every single living entity can utilize his time in becoming Krishna conscious by seeing Krishna in everything. So this is the opulence of the Supreme Lord. But in Bhagavad Gita, they give some specific opulences. Like a shark. You know, what's the opulence of a shark? It's not a very beautiful fish, is it? You know, if you're swimming in the sea and you see, you know, a mackerel, or a herring, goodbye. It doesn't make much effect, does it? But if you know, you see it, it'll have a bigger effect. So Krishna's opulences. So yeah, we have to have, we have to have the proper dealings. And it's not easy, is it? Is it? And in some situations, it's like you feel the exact opposite. I remember when I joined the movement, you know, devotees were very tolerant. And of course, I hadn't learned the art of being tolerant. And, you know, I just see two devotees talking, and you think, just tell him. You know, just tell him. But they were like, you know, being careful not to hurt one another's feelings. So I like that. Yeah, it's not easy to follow this Vaishnava etiquette. And, you know, so many different situations. And, you know, the textbook is Shastra. This is how we should act, right? And so, is that the final word? No, because we're sentient beings. And there's so many situations. There's so many people's different way of thinking. There's so many outcomes. There's so many results of that outcome. So a devotee has to think about all these things. It's not. So how does he get that knowledge? Yeah. Krishna from within. Sometimes. I mean, it depends how pure we are, doesn't it? If we're not so pure, then we can get some wrong. So, yeah, Krishna from within. Eh? Yeah, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. We, you know, we can't perform devotional service and we can't advance without devotees. Because we'll just, you know, be on the platform of the mind and see everything through our own mind. So when we have devotees who we can actually reciprocate with, then we can learn the art of dealing in every situation. Sometimes they may say something which is completely opposite of what we think is the correct way to act. But then in due course of time, by following that advice, we see that actually that's the correct way to act. We may get an immediate result by, you know, following Shastra or following our own interpretation of Shastra. But, you know, long term it may not be beneficial. Anybody think of any examples? Not one. Shall I say it again? So it's, you know, in a certain situation, we may be a little bit bewildered. What do you do in this situation? You know, this is the best thing to do, but if I do that, it won't work. Has anybody been in that situation? Pray. That's the best, yeah. That's the answer, pray. But before we do that, I mean, as well as doing that, I should say, you know, we should... That one, I was asking if anybody got any feedback on that one. Anybody had an experience, not what we should do, but where we've, you know, been in a situation where we didn't know what to do. Silence means never or always. We're always in that situation. Yeah? It'll work itself out. I can't hear my Matiji, I've got body. Yeah, that's a good... Actually, I was once told that. That's a good answer. Because one senior devotee once said to me, you know, I mentioned the situation to him and he said, okay, I'll see to it. And he didn't do anything. And he came to me a bit later on and he said, if you're not sure what to do, don't do anything. He didn't know what to do. You know, because that's like... There's four ways to act. One is... A lazy fool. A lazy fool, you know, will cause harm for himself. But a busy fool increases the, you know, it makes it worse. And then you've got lazy, busy intelligence. So that means we do everything. And finally, lazy intelligence means that we can actually inspire others to do it. But yeah, lazy fool. We shouldn't be a lazy fool. Anyway, yeah, good. We should wait for Krishna sometimes. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes nothing seems to, you know, we need to deal with the situation immediately. And then we have to pray. Yeah.
Actually, sometimes if you are in the trouble, I mean, then you can, if you're reading Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, you open the page and the answer is written there.
Yeah. And sometimes that happens, we can get some inspiration from
devotees. Devotees, they answer you.
Okay, I think everybody's ready for Shardam. We'll stop there. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.